Good morning. Well, my friends, as we gather in worship this morning, our scripture, which we sing, is taken from Proverbs 3, and it reminds us to trust in the Lord, to remember the Lord's teachings, the assurance of God's faithfulness, and the spiritual act to acknowledge God in every season. Now, I often encourage my own congregation in our worship that our worship is twofold. That first, it is both an expression of devotion as we worship and as we praise God, but second, it is also a practical action. What I mean by that is that our words of praise mean something beyond this space. Beyond this time of worship, our worship truly ought to transform our lives, so much so that if there is fear, anxiety, confusion, wondering about our present circumstances, that we truly give that to the Lord in this space, trusting God with all of our hearts, instead of leaning on our limited understanding of what's happening right now. So our worship this morning, Bloomington Covenant, is truly an expression of praise and devotion, and it's a response of action. So as we worship, as we come into this place, I want to invite you just to consider, before we get started, what is it that you need to entrust to the Lord? For this truly is the Spirit's invitation in this moment and our response as God's people. And so what is it that you have to entrust to the Lord today? Let's pray together. Lord God, as we come into this space today, God, this morning we come into community together to worship and to praise you. Your presence was with us before we came into this place. It's with us now. And Lord, we trust it will go forth from in this place. And so this morning, God, we acknowledge you. We thank you for the assurance of your love and your goodness, your faithfulness and your wisdom. God, help us to entrust to you that which you're asking us to yield up. As we open up your word today, Lord, as we share this morning, God, I pray that you would take this word, that you would divide it up, and that you would use it to encourage and to bless all who hear it. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Bloomington Covenant Church. It is an honor to be with you today. I am grateful for this invitation to worship with you and to preach today. I pray that this time during Pastor Tim's sabbatical has been everything that you've hoped it has been. I certainly know that it can be hard for a congregation at times during a sabbatical of a senior pastor, but I also know that you are in very, very capable hands with the pastors and leaders among you. And it's especially exciting, as Pastor Anna shared, our connection to see her leadership and her gifts on full display today. And so, again, thank you for your warm welcome. My name is Pastor Rose. I serve as formation pastor at Sanctuary Covenant Church in Minneapolis, not too far from you all. I've been on staff there for 11 years. And my context of ministry is a Black-led, Black-centered, urban multi-ethnic church, and we are planted and rooted there in North Minneapolis. So we are a particular, and we're a little bit of a peculiar kind of church, but we have certainly experienced the faithfulness of God in the last 18 years of our church's life. So as Pastor Tim invited me to preach, he shared that this theme that you're in this season, that you're focusing on, this affirmation that the stones in Joshua 4 really represent these stories told about God. And we all have those stories, right? About God's presence and provision, about God's grace in our lives. We could all come up here and share a testimony of God's provision and grace in our lives. Thanks be to God. So this morning, I am grateful just to have a time and really to follow up after what Pastor Anna already preached last Sunday on Moses' call and his call story. Specifically, his objection to God as he questioned his own identity as well as God's identity. And Pastor Anna shared insightfully that God is with us in a very active way through our insecurities and our weaknesses, through our questions and our doubts. So today I hope to share themes of Moses' call story in conjunction with my own call story, and as a result, encourage each of us as we move past the discomfort, insecurities, maybe doubts of our capacity to impact the kingdom right where God has planted us. Because each and every one of us, no matter what season, no matter where we are, we each have capacity to impact the kingdom. And so our passage today in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through chapter 3, verse 22, we see the story of Moses and God's invitation to partner with God in confronting Pharaoh and setting his people free. Now, in the Bible, when God calls and invites people into God's work, they call that a call narrative, simply meaning the story of God's call in their life. Now, many of these call narratives have a particular or similar pattern. Not all, but most of them. And the pattern goes something like this. There's a confrontation where the person has some sort of experience with God, with an angel, or the Spirit. Then there's a commission. They are called or invited to do something specific and in some sort of particular way. Then, of course, we see an objection. The person objects and says, oh, no, 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 that's not going to happen. And then we see a reassurance, that God reassures that person in some way. And finally, we see a confirming sign. There's some sort of sign that solidifies that this truly was God's intention all along, no matter our objection. So we see this pattern in so many call stories. We see it in Moses' story, in Gideon, in Mary, in the disciples. They all have elements of this pattern and a story of invitation from God. So today, Bloomington Covenant, now I would normally spend a significant amount of time addressing the context of our passage, the audience, the original meaning, the application. But since Pastor Anna already did some of that work last week, I get to simply share a story. To share a story about how God called me. My fierce objection of that call for a season, and the confirming signs that have followed in the wake of my response with God's goodness. So my hope simply is to encourage you to respond to God's call in your life, both collectively as a church body and individually as you use your gifts for the kingdom. Now, I know that we are not all called to pastor, but we are all called to a life of service and love. So my call story began 25 years ago. I was in junior high, and I was attending a church retreat for seventh graders. And I was raised in the Catholic Church, and so we were sitting in this huge sanctuary in a time of silent prayer, which I don't know how you get seventh graders to sit in a time of silent prayer, but we were. And in the silence, as I was sitting there, I hear a voice from the Lord quietly say, use your voice. Now, I heard that, and I couldn't believe it at first. And as I sat there, God began to give me this vision of myself later as an adult in full-time vocational ministry. Now, this was surprising for a few reasons. Now, first, I was an extremely shy kid growing up. I'm an introvert naturally. But more than that, even as a kid, when I saw other kids my age, you know, most little kids would just go up to a child and start playing, right? But not me. even as a kid, when I would see other kids my age and I wanted to play with them, I would go up to my mom, I would tug on her sleeve, she'd kneel down, and I'd whisper into her ear, "Will you ask them if they want to play with me?" If I had any voice at all as a child, it was a very quiet one. And partially because I was very shy, but also because of some childhood trauma, and it really paralyzed my voice in many ways, and I was stuck in this place of fear. So when God used those particular words of "use your voice," I was shocked. The other reason it was surprising was because, as I shared earlier, I grew up in the Catholic Church. And of course, in the Catholic Church, they do not ordain women. So in my life, I didn't even know that women in any denomination could be a pastor. So as I sat in that pew and I heard God's voice and saw this vision of full-time ministry, I couldn't help but physically feel this juxtaposition between this call and the pulpit that was in front of me that would never welcome my voice. So I was shocked. I didn't know what to do. And I asked God so many questions, and every time it was the same assurance and the same vision. Now imagine for a moment, 13-year-old me, sitting in this pew, petite, a quiet rule follower, and like most girls, highly aware of their body and the space that it occupied. And this invitation from the Spirit would defy my carefully defined, small, obedient self. And I was being invited into a space that was traditionally not meant for me. And yet, at the same time, God's call made so much sense. I couldn't quite understand it, but there was a conflict that was visceral in me. So after that moment, I didn't exactly ignore the call. I just didn't know what to do with it. And so I knew that it would mean likely leaving the parish community that I loved. It would mean parting from the religious tradition of my mother that she raised me in, and that she was devoted to herself. But I decided that I would simply just let it be for a while. Sure that God would make a way, and I didn't have to really worry about the rest. So as time went on, I continued to ask God almost every Sunday while sitting in my childhood church what to do, what this call meant. And I felt the same assurance of my call, as well as the assurance to just wait and remain open to the Spirit. So I tried to do just that as a teenager. Now, eventually, as I was in high school and figuring out college, my parents were encouraging me in one direction, and I felt really stuck, not knowing how to even pursue a future in ministry because I didn't have any other guide. And I decided then that I had to tell my parents about this call to ministry, because before then I hadn't ever uttered a word to anyone. So when I told them, they didn't say much. It was likely a mix of shock for them as well, maybe a little bit of an unease around their own views of women in ministry, and the path that they felt was much more challenging than, say, a career in healthcare or finance. They were likely just as confused as I was, or simply being supportive parents, but not quite sure how to do that. Now, eventually, I found out about a school called Covenant Bible College. It was a one-year discipleship program that meant that I could go and study the Bible for a while. I could kind of figure this out. It was also happened to be associated with our denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church. So it felt like a perfect fit. So I decided to spread my wings. I wanted to get out of Minnesota. And so of the three campuses, I decided, well, I'll apply to the campus in Colorado and see how it goes. Well, at the time I applied, the Colorado campus was already full. And so I decided, well, if I'm going out of the country, I'm not going to Canada. I already know what snow is like because I grew up here in Minnesota. So I'm going to Ecuador. So off I went, my first year of college, to live in Ecuador for a year to study the Bible, to begin to more deeply understand this invitation from God. And during that time, I met lifelong friends, as well as my husband now of 14 years. And in that place, God stretched me, enlivened the Bible for me, and gave me female mentors who were living out their own call. God truly, just like as we saw these children unwrap the Bible with this map around the Bible, God was giving me a roadmap. Even if it was very faint, with only a few next steps and turns ahead. Now, eventually, that year in Ecuador brought me to North Park University in Chicago, where I received my bachelor's in biblical and theological studies. And it was there that God opened my eyes. Opened my eyes to the fullness of the gospel. The gospel that not only says that I am saved when I believe in Jesus Christ, but the gospel that also provides an imperative to care for the most vulnerable, to seek justice for the oppressed, the gospel that prioritizes we over me, and the gospel that has the power to liberate us in this world and in the next. It was there that I felt a deep call to urban multi-ethnic ministry. Then as I continued my studies, my husband and I, who were newlyweds, packed up everything into the U-Haul, and we moved halfway across the country to Fuller Theological Seminary, where I had the privilege to meet Anna and her family, a place that we actually had never even visited before we arrived on campus. And it was there that God exposed a beautiful understanding of Scripture that includes all voices, all gifts, and all people in the work of the gospel. It was there that I understand how the Bible has been misused to exclude women from the pulpit and other areas of ministry. And it was there that God solidified my call. Now, after seminary, I accepted a call from Sanctuary to move back to Minnesota, and I've been there ever since. And being at my current church home has been just an immense blessing, filled with immense challenges as well. As you can imagine, any sort of multi-ethnic church ministry of differences coming together. None of it has been easy, but I have seen God's faithfulness as confirming signs like many call narratives in Scripture. I certainly had my own objections to God. It may seem like my story aligned perfectly, everything working out as it should. But even once I accepted this call from God, I struggled so much to see myself as a pastor. Because remember from my call story as a child, I was incredibly shy. I did not like having attention on me. I had a serious fear of public speaking even. And I daily had to deal with anxiety as I stepped into this role of pastor. I had to literally face every fear in accepting this call to ministry. Now, I have stepped out of my comfort zone time and time again. God has stretched me in incredible ways beyond what I thought was possible. So today, Bloomington Covenant, I come today simply to share my story. Hopefully that it could be an encouragement. I share my call story with you today to encourage you to see the ways that God is inviting all of us. The ways that God is calling all of us, inviting us to see ways in which you might feel unworthy, that's where God calls us worthy. To recognize that the ways that we might feel unsure, God is asking us to trust in His assurance. And in the places where we might feel unprepared, God has actually been preparing you quite intentionally all along. Where you feel unable, God is providing a way. And if you're unwilling, like I was at so many times, let me ask you today to consider what you might miss out on if you don't say yes. So often, God calls congregations, communities, into new seasons. So where is God asking you to stretch beyond your comfort zone? God's call to me 25 years ago was a simple yet extremely meaningful invitation. Use your voice. Now, it has been 25 years of figuring out how to do that in every stage, in every season, but I can't imagine if I would have ultimately said no. What is it that we might miss out on if we don't say yes? If we don't invite the Spirit and take hold of that invitation? Because when God calls us, it's typical for us to object at first. God calls us for a reason and with a purpose. So today I want to end with simply two questions. First, what is God calling you as a congregation in this season? I can imagine that as Pastor Tim is on sabbatical, it's certainly a time for him to be mindful of the ways in which God has been using him for over something like 15 some years here in this congregation. It's also an invitation for you as a church to take time and space to consider, what is this new season God is calling us into? We know as Christians in 2021 that the game has changed. Our call, our witness to the world matters more than ever. So how is God calling you as a congregation, Bloomington Covenant, into a new season of obedience, a new season of mission? So what is God calling you as a congregation in this season? How have you objected to that call as a church, or in what ways are you actively pursuing it together, on mission together? And then second, in your own life, whatever season that might be for yourself, what has God called you to in this season? It may be a job, but often it transcends a 9-to-5, and instead it's a whole life posture or passion. What is God inviting you to, and how are you or how are you not pursuing that invitation? The Spirit is always inviting us. It's simply our invitation to notice that or not. I've often in this season made it a spiritual practice to simply notice. To simply notice where the Spirit is moving, where I see the Spirit active, and where the Spirit is asking me to partner in mission work for the kingdom. And so my questions for you is, where is God inviting you as a congregation? How is God inviting you wherever God has placed you in your life? My encouragement for you today is to say yes to God's invitation. Say yes to God's call and see the confirming signs that will follow as a sign of God's faithfulness. So would you pray with me today? Lord God, we thank you so much. Truly, as we saw our children open up their Bible and see a roadmap, God, that you do give us steps. You light our way. You illuminate a path for us, God. Lord, as we discern what your invitation is for us in this season, God, I pray that your Spirit would be active and moving, that your Spirit would show confirming signs, that there would be unity as a church around what that mission looks like. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be with my brothers and sisters here at Bloomington Covenant. God, I pray that in the season of sabbatical for Pastor Tim, we pray that it would be rejuvenating, that it would be a time of illuminating a vision for this church and this community, God. And Lord, I pray that as he comes back, Lord, I pray that this church would have their own visions, their excitement and passion around where you are leading them next. And I pray, Lord, for just Holy Spirit alignment. God, that in the months, in years to come, we would see the incredible ways, Holy Spirit, that you are working in this congregation to continue to spread the good news, to invite neighbors and to share in the communal life of living out your words. And so, God, I thank you for this time and this space. I thank you for the ways that you have been faithful time and again, and ask, Lord, that you would just nurture us with signs of your faithfulness, signs of your faithfulness so that we could keep pursuing the mission that you've called us to, Lord God. So, God, I simply ask that in sharing my story that it would be some form of encouragement as we continue to pursue collectively, Lord, your call to further your kingdom right here, right now, on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we yield up ourselves to you. Use us for your glory, for your goodness, for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.